Hi, my name is Keela Harmstead, and I'm a member of Forest Hills Al-Anon Family Groups, and I'm also an alcoholic, and I would much rather be up here telling my AA story, my behavior, and that I would share about my AA story has a good reason, because I was high and I was drunk, right? The behavior that brought me into Al-Anon, I did very sober, so it's a little bit different. These lights are super bright. They are super bright. I mean, if you've got to have them, that's fine, but okay. I said you do you, I'll do me. All right, I'm gonna try to get focused again. Okay. Sorry. All right, so my sobriety date is December the 1st, 2004. That means, and if I make it another 6 weeks, something like that, 5 weeks, I have 19 years of sobriety. Woo! I only have a very few years of Al-Anon. It took a while for me to put those together. I came into Al-Anon, let me back up just a little bit, and I don't remember, so I've got a few things going on here. I've got a lot of stuff going on. I'm really nervous right now, so there's a lot of stuff going on in my head. I have two sponsors. I have an AA sponsor. I have an Al-Anon sponsor. I have a grand sponsor. I have sponsees, and I have sponsees that sponsor other women. This is very important of the service and the fellowship of how this program works, and it doesn't work with me doing this by myself. I have family here. My brother is here. We kind of did this thing together. We ended up completely different. I don't understand how. Maybe not completely different. Different enough. He's not sober. So I'm a little jealousy there. Maybe like, why me? Why not him? He could have been the sober one. I could have been the one that, you know, drinks socially, or maybe the social meth user. Anyway. Did y'all know that there are some of those? Blows my mind. Like, how do you do that? Okay, sorry, refocus. Al-Anon, Al-Anon, Al-Anon. Al-Anon, Al-Anon. Okay. So, and I forgot all about this, and maybe I'll have to. This is something that's kind of been on my mind lately, because I don't really understand. I don't really know what led up to it. I mean, I've got a pretty good idea. But I was 14. I guess Frank was 13. We're 10 and a half months apart. So we're pretty much the same. I mean, we're basically the same age. We were in Alateen, and there was this little place, and it, if you're from here, it was at the Martinez, where the Martinez group meets on Washington Road. There was a little building in the back, and they had Alateen there, and I remember there was like a little red book there. I don't remember much about that, except for that my much older boyfriend would pick me up from Alateen and we would go get high or go get drunk. That's what I remember of Alateen. We were required to go to 6 meetings then, and then I thought that the point was to understand that my parents' drinking wasn't my fault. Cool, I got it. You know, like, I don't know what else to say, but I'm good, and we can move on from that. But because it was just a very small stint, I guess I really kind of didn't think about that until I'd been in Al-Anon for a little while, that there was another connection with Alateen. We don't have active Alateen in Augusta. This is something that I don't know that I definitely am drawn to. Al-Anon was here when I got here. AA was here and thriving when I needed it. Alateen may be needed for other, is needed, I'm sure. And I'm just going to be selfish that I have a daughter and I don't know what's going on. You know, I don't know what she's going to need. But wouldn't it be great if there was a thriving program for her to attend if the need arose for that? I got sober in 2004. My AA sponsor actually had the privilege of seeing me completely junked out before I got sober. I had orange hair, and I was super, super skinny, and not like a pretty, like, supermodel way, like in a junked out way, like sunken eyes, super, like, you know, it was really bad. So that was her first introduction to me. And she agreed to be my sponsor after I got out of rehab. I'm not sure exactly when it was. I'm not going to, you know, split hairs with that. But pretty much from the beginning, she would drop like these little, Have you thought about Al-Anon? I'm good. Maybe a couple of more years go by. Have you thought about Al-Anon? I'm good. You know, I'm sober. I'm good. So she's constantly has just been plugging that along over the years, but I'm not available for here. I'm not in the situation that I can get that message, hear that message, take that advice, because there's not enough pain. She can recognize it, but I'm not hurting enough to want to do anything about it. 2018, I am hurting enough. It was, see, Emlyn was born in 2014, so she was probably four. I was in a physically abusive marriage, and I was sober in a physically, I had long-term sobriety, and I'm in a physically abusive marriage. I am a walking, talking mess. I cannot function. Now, I'm showing up at meetings, right? I'm going to work. I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to be doing. But inside, we talk about the physical craving and the mental obsession in AA. And what I had was this physical craving to this person, this mental obsession to this person, to this chaos that was in my household. And I couldn't fix it. And I was trying. He was sober when we got together, and we grew up together. We drank and used the exact same way. And we separated. I went off, got sober. He went and did his thing, and we got back together. And he was sober, right? Sober enough. That's a term I'll use later on. Sober enough. And he started drinking. Okay, so I am 8-9 years sober. I know AA. I've been living this program. I have completely drained the Kool-Aid for AA. I am 12 steps, home group service work. I do stuff at the district level. I sponsor women, work the steps. I am that person. But see, what happened in my household is he started drinking occasionally. Not a big deal, right? Like, nothing major is happening with him drinking occasionally. But see, what I had a hard time grasping is that he is just like me. He looks different. His is a little bit different than mine, but his disease is the same as my disease. Within a matter of years, his drug use is out of control. And I can't see it. I'm too close. It was this gradual thing. Now, say you want to come into an AA meeting and you're a newcomer and you want to come in and get sober and your life's, man, come here. Let me help you. Let me introduce you to these people. Let me introduce you to these people. Hey, man, why don't you get a sponsor? Hey, man, come back to the meeting tomorrow, right? Love, compassion, caring. I can do that. In my own home, I cannot. I can't. I can't see it. It's too close. It's too personal. I cannot see it. So I show up in Al-Anon in 2018, and I hang around until I didn't think I was that big of a mess. One of my friends pointed out that in 2018, I thought I was kind of holding it together a little bit in 2018, and I was talking with one of my friends the other day, and he's like, "Nah, you're a mess." And I was like, "No, it wasn't. Not the mess I was when I came back in 2020. He's like, "No, that was another dumpster fire, but you still came with the first dumpster fire." But I thought I was kind of like holding it together enough, but I knew that there was a problem, and I'm still not talking to anybody. There's shame, right? Like, I am sober. I'm supposed to be here. Like, in my mind, I'm supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be having these problems, but I do. So I finally, she's been talking to me for this for like 14 years now. Al-Anon, Al-Anon, Al-Anon. I'm like, "Oh, I'm hurting. I guess I'll go try Al-Anon." So I come to Forest Hills Al-Anon Family Group. We meet at Tuesday nights at St. Mark's United Methodist Church at 7 p.m. We offer babysitting. There's also an AA meeting there. They have multiple things. My kid has lived in that babysitting, in the daycare there. So I come in 2018, And I'm thinking that I'm coming because of him, right? Like the disaster that he has put in our house, right? That is why I'm coming. And every time I get a sponsor when I come in there, and I'm talking to her about all of the horrible behavior that he's doing. I mean, and there's tons, right? Like, there's lists of this stuff. And then I have to be honest, and, you know, I have a little bit of bad behavior. And, and she asked me, she's like, well, is he high? I was like, yeah, Pam, he's high. She was like, well, what's your excuse? No, you didn't. And she actually asked that more than once. That was not a one-time. That was not a one-time question. She had to ask that more than one time. So anyway, so I come into Al-Anon and I hang around, and I hang around till 2019, and I really like men. I really like men. Always really like men. And I usually use them to fix the way that I feel. Pam's looking at me like, girl. So I use them to change the way that I feel, because see, I'm an alcoholic and I'm a drug addict. I like anything that changes the way that I feel. I mean, I'm not going to go into all that. This is not an AA talk, but I guess it really kind of, whatever. We won't go into all that. So in 2019, I find my next fix, right? So I'm getting out of this marriage. This next guy, I mean, he's great. I mean, everything is perfect. And then COVID hits. Well, we're not going to, you know, meetings shut down. Things start getting really bad in this next relationship. Let me back up a little bit. When my ex and I split, we separated, Al-Anon started dropping off. I didn't have it. He wasn't in the household anymore. I thought the problem was solved. Exactly. I don't know who did that. Exactly, right? Because see, I still, that little 6-month stint that I did from 2018 to 2019, I still really didn't register that it was me. It was about changing the behavior. It was about lessening some of those consequences, some of those occurrences. But I didn't really grasp that I was the problem. So when he moved out and I got this new relationship that was phenomenal, I stopped coming to Al-Anon because I didn't think that I needed it. So what happened is that probably 6 months into that relationship, I find myself in another physically abusive relationship. I've not fixed anything. I've put a Band-Aid on something, but I have not fixed one thing that was wrong with me. I'm codependent. I want to focus on you. I want to focus on things that are on the outside because I don't want to look at myself. And I don't want to admit that either, right? And so telling all y'all that, I'm not comfortable. I'm going to do it, but it's not comfortable. I finally got out of that. That was another that was another mess. But what it did was it brought me back into Al-Anon where I needed to be. That took me to my bottom, where I thought I was at my bottom and I was ready to do some work and get some help in 2018. That wasn't it. It was what I had to go through and what I got when I came in 2020. When I came in 2020, I was banking on step 2 to be restored to sanity. I knew from working the steps in AA that there was recovery in Al-Anon. I was a mess. My life was completely out of control. I got a super fast motorcycle, not the old man motorcycle that I have now. But I bought a sport bike, and I told y'all that I like men, and I use these practices. I was very destructive behavior because I was lashing out. I was hurting. I was empty, and I just did not feel good. Now, at the same time that I'm lashing out, I did get my butt kicked enough, and I'm in Al-Anon now. Okay? And I'm showing up. I'm coming to meetings. I'm there every Tuesday. I pick up service positions that they only let you pick up a couple, because if you're a double winner, they like hold these other positions. They're like, no, you can't do this one, but we'll let you do this one. No AAs can do this one. So anyway, so I pick up the ones that they will let me do. And but I'm all in, right? Because I know it's going to work. Now, my behavior is still wild and crazy, okay? Because I haven't got to the point where that I can not want to do that stuff yet. But I'm chairing meetings. I'm doing service work. I'm meeting with my sponsor. I'm reading literature. Y'all, this book right here, I love this book, How Al-Anon Works. Like, this is my book. All my people in my home group know that I don't really come with my readers. I come with How Al-Anon Works. And this is, you know, I knew to get all into the program. As I got all into the program, my destructive behavior started decreasing. And it wasn't even that I was having to, like, white-knuckle it. It just started naturally getting in check. I share in meetings all the time that when I came in here in 2018, I had no peace and no serenity. I couldn't sleep through the night. I had a very successful career that did not get all of me. I had a small child that, if you know her, she's very independent. And, you know, in those first few years of her life, I was so consumed with her father that I really feel she did not get the mother that she deserved those first few years of her life, which maybe is why she's a little bit more independent than she should be. The program started working for me, and I started getting better. I'll never forget that first time, and this was such a big deal. I had 30 minutes of peace and serenity. I wasn't obsessing. Nothing had changed, right? He's still smoking meth in the garage. You know, my parents are still doing, I haven't even touched on my parents. Oh my God. Whoa. we haven't even touched on any of that. Maybe we'll have some time for that. You know, none of that, you know, nothing outside had changed. I started changing. What? And it didn't last, right? But that 30 minutes, man, I just needed it. I needed that pressure off my shoulders. I needed that peace in my heart. I just needed it. A little bit later, I started sleeping through the night. And those of you that have sat up obsessing and not sleeping, you know what a big deal that is. Started sleeping through the night. And I started getting this thing. I feel that I don't do an adequate job of relaying what a gift Al-Anon is. The hope that we offer, and when I see someone new come in, and I know exactly where they are, and they probably think that they're alone. They probably think nobody knows how I feel. But when you come into Al-Anon, none of us come in on a winning streak, right? None of us are like, anything to do on Tuesday. Maybe I'll go check out Al-Anon, right? No, you come in because if you're anything like me, I try to control the situation and fix. I put everything that I had into this to fix it and was getting nowhere. I just made it worse. So when I came into Al-Anon, I was exhausted. I was so tired and lost. So the hope that Al-Anon gives when I see a new person come in and they come in and we might be laughing or cutting up in a meeting because we've found that, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything has been fixed around us. It just means that I've found the ability to deal with life on life's terms. Okay, so Sharon experienced strength and hope, and that is what I want to give. Like, my whole goal in life today is to have peace and serenity. You know, I was talking with another lady. I sponsor women in AA, and I sponsor women in Al-Anon. And to be honest with you, the ones that I sponsor in AA, it's getting harder and harder to pull the Al-Anon out of that, right? It's because they're so combined. They're so intertwined for me that I can't really separate them. And I'm like, hold on, she's not in Al-Anon. Hold on, let me try to word this a different way or something like that. And then I can't do it anymore. They're so together. Growing up, so I had two. One of them's not going to call himself an alcoholic. The other one knows that she's an alcoholic. And so when I was about 16, I accepted their alcoholism. Not in like a healthy way or anything like that. I accepted their alcoholism because that's when I got a car and I was able to finally have the freedom to explore my addiction the way I wanted to, right? Like when I was 14, I mean, I was an everyday user from 14 to the age of till I was 24, every day. I mean, I might have had a day here, a day there, something like that. But from 14 to 24, every day I was intoxicated. But, you know, as a 12-year-old, you're kind of dependent on your friend's mom to, like, break you off a half a joint and give it to you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, you got to get the right friend for that, which I did. I had the right friend for that. And, but, you know, you're kind of like, you're at the mercy of somebody else to help you. But when I turned 16, I understood why my parents were never home. They were out drinking. They were out doing their thing. It just clicked. Like I said, not a healthy way. It just made sense. So there were some resentments that I just didn't have, but I didn't understand why my parents, I thought all parents were kind of checked out like that. I don't know. This is the only house I've ever grown up in. You know what I'm saying? I have no other experience to compare this to. And, you know, Frank and I, we just kind of did whatever we wanted to do, whenever we wanted to do it, however we wanted to do it. In retrospect, I really think that, it wouldn't have happened because I wasn't available for Al-Anon. My brain was not there. But obviously, you know, because I immediately crossed over that line into addiction. At 14, when I could use every day, I used every day. There was no kind of like teetering on that line of addiction. It was immediately I was crossed over into that. But the more that I learned in Al-Anon and the more that I've learned about myself in Al-Anon, I realized that if somehow I could have had this program 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, maybe I wouldn't have been the addict. Maybe I used alcohol and drugs to fix what else was wrong with me. I'd say this story, and I love this story, and in AA meetings, it really is, it's a great story. It's a really good laugh. And I shared it at one of my Al-Anon talks, and it fell dead. I was like, oh, different audience. Okay, but anyway, I feel like some of y'all are in AA, so it's fine. But this is just a... Maybe y'all will get it, okay? So just a little, and I won't spend too much more time on that, but I'll just give you a little snapshot. And I was talking to Frank about this the other day. So we are 10 months apart, and I was 17, and that was my first big arrest. Not my brother's, but my first big arrest, okay? And it was a doozy. It was really big. It was huge. Anyway, so I lost my license, but I've only had my license like a little bit over a year because I'm 17. So I lost my license and I get home and my dad looks at me and he was like, Keeler, we were really counting on you. You were the only person left with a license. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Told y'all it was funny. That felt dead in an Al-Anon. Just Al-Anon people were like, oh, that's so shameful. So Frank was only 16. He had already lost his license. Like I said, he got in way more trouble than I did. But my mom apparently had not had a license since I was like 10. And then my dad had lost his license, you know, not too long before that. So thank you, right? So if I tell you that, do you kind of have an idea of what it was like in my household? I mean, you got to, right? You got to. I mean, I have plenty of other stories. I won't share those, but they're really good. So when I was growing up with both of those, my dad owned his own business. He was a mechanic. He had a car shop, you know, and that I grew up in that. I love it. I wanted to be just like my dad. He drank all the time, had plenty of money. There was always a fancy car in the driveway. It always changed every couple of days, depending on who the customer was. He, you know, he was at the bar every day, but he got up and he did it all over again the next day. Two different forms of alcoholism in my house. My mom would drink, and then she's out for days. Like, you don't even know that she's here. She's just passed out in her bed, right? So, to me, I want to be like that, right? I want to be like him. And I didn't see those, and I really judged my mom more harshly for that. And she was just, but it was her addiction, right? And she struggled to get sober. She tried to get sober when we were in high school, and maybe a little bit before. I found her old old AA book, and I think the first date written in there was 1993. So I would have been 12 or 13 years old. And she just couldn't get it. I don't know how old I was when I started pouring out bottles of vodka. I'd find them. It was just like, who told me to do that? Nobody told. I'm not talking to anybody about this, right? I just want to get those. I know that those bottles of vodka that are hidden in the closet and our drawers in the kitchen, that is what the problem is. It's not my mom. It's the alcohol. So I'd go through and I'd pour all that stuff out. Never changed. Never changed anything. My mom had a stroke a few years back, I guess seven or eight years ago. It was a direct result of her alcoholism, and I had so much anger and hatred and resentment for what I had to do as a result of her stroke. It's always been a tough relationship, and I don't know why. You know, my dad gets this pass. I love my dad. I can accept my dad for what he is. He's still doing the exact same thing. That man is still doing today what he did 40, 50, 60 years ago. But with my mom, it's just different. And I went through a couple of years ago, and I was just done. You know, she's in a nursing home. She's paralyzed from this stroke. That's a direct result from her alcoholism. And this is her life now. This strong, independent woman that was crippled by alcoholism. I wish I could have known her before alcoholism, because that's all I knew of her. But I knew in her younger days, like, I could see her, and I've got to be her, right? Like, I didn't just get this way from nowhere. I mean, she had to have been somewhat like this, but I didn't get to know that part of her. She, a few years ago, I was just done. I was done with her attitude. I was done with how she was. I didn't like what she was doing to me. And I'm in a healthy part in Al-Anon, and I spoke with my sponsor about that. And this morning's meeting was on detachment. And I was not detaching with love. I was detaching with anger and resentment, and I was carrying that, and it's heavy. And I've become accustomed to this freedom that I found in Al-Anon, and I don't want any more of that. But I still have to work through it, right? Like, it's not natural. It doesn't just happen. I still have to keep plugging away. I still have to do this. And I talked with my sponsor about it, and she said, because there's no, her behavior is not going to change. What has to change is my response to her behavior. My attitude towards her is the only thing that I have any control over. So she told me, she said, you can either accept your mother for who she is and have a relationship with her, or you can decide that you don't want to do that and you can cut her off. Like, what, you have options. Which one do you want to do? And that took a few months. You know, she's in a nursing home. She has nobody else, not nobody else down here, but I am her main facilitator. And I took care of all of her stuff, like her financial and her needs. You know, all of that stuff was taken care of. But I just took a break because I needed to, because it wasn't healthy for me. And it didn't start as a healthy break, right? But it ended in a healthy way. And I can accept her for who she is today and really just let by. I tell you, one of the best things that Al-Anon has done is given me the freedom to let you be you. And I can still love you. Wow. You know, because I always thought that I had to change you, or I thought that I had to show you how to do it better. If there was something wrong, or if you had a character defect, like it was, who appointed me the judge to make sure that you knew about your character defect? I mean, I know that I'm so perfect in everything, you probably should follow my lead. But, you know, it's not my job. And what I've found is the peace and serenity from keeping the focus on myself. That's the trick in Al-Anon. They don't tell you before you get here. They lure you in here. It's for friends and families of alcoholics and drug addicts. Oh, so it's about them. And then you get in here and they're like, ha-ha. It's about you. Okay, so I've been sober since 2004. And so like I said, that was a super long time. I've grown, basically grown up in AA. I mean, I completely burned my life to the ground at the age of 24. Thank you. Thank you. It's a talent that I have. And then I burned it, you know, pretty much burned it down again at, you know, at 14, 15 years sober. It's another talent that I have. And I couldn't figure out why I was crazy, right? Like, I was like, why am I crazy? I work a good AA program. And see, and I thought that I worked a good AA program because I really didn't struggle with not wanting to drink or not wanting to use. It wasn't, I mean, I've had, don't get me wrong, I've had ebbs and flows in my sobriety. I've been sober a long time. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just going to happen. But I've never really struggled with that. So I thought that was a success. And the work that I've done in Al-Anon, I have never felt this good in my entire life. And I've been sober for a long time. And it took this to where I feel like this inside. I kind of feel like I feel like I have a leg up when it comes into working the steps in Al-Anon, because I've worked those steps in AA. I've practiced those principles in AA. I've done the service work done. So I knew what needed to be done. But going through the step work in Al-Anon, it's almost like doubling down and digging even further, because really a lot of the surface stuff, you know, it's been addressed, right? So let's dig down here further. And one of the biggest compliments that I can get is the last time we met, Pam was like, you really are changing. I have this really big thing that I'm not going to discuss up here, but she was like, wow, Keeler. I was like, I know, right? Like, right here, right here. And this was a character defect that I've been holding on to for a really long time, because it was a useful tool in the beginning. And I couldn't see the error in that. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I couldn't see the error in having in that character defect. And it's changing now. And I really don't know how I feel about it. I'm kind of grieving it, because I did kind of like it and I've used it for so long. And I'm like, it's not really useful anymore. I don't know. But it's a huge personality change, and I'm okay with that. Like, it's time. It's time to move forward. It's time to change my behavior, to change my attitude. I'll end with this, that I love how that I can get up here now and tell you about the issues that I had that brought me into Al-Anon. There's a lot of shame with that. There's that I'm trying to get through now. What makes it better is because it doesn't have control over me anymore. No one person really has the power to flip on that mental obsession in me anymore. But if I don't stay in the middle of Al-Anon, if I don't show up, if I'm not working with my sponsor, if I'm not working with sponsees, if I'm not reading literature, if I'm not going to meetings, I get disconnected. And that's the dangerous part. It's the same thing in AA. I have to stay connected, because, see, my sick thinking thinks that I've got this. And you know, when I went out and, you know, from 2018 and didn't come back to 2020, and, you know, it was, I went out and, I mean, that was fun. And I saw what happened when I stopped coming. I don't get this. I don't have this intuitively in my brain. I just don't. But I have to come back and I have to be reminded, and I want to see people that come in, and when they come in and I know that it's not my job to hug them, it's not my job to fix any problems for them, my job is to show them that there's a solution. And I'm so grateful for that. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.